What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you are tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you guys again for tuning in, as always. First things first, follow me on Twitter, at It's Intuition. Follow my man, Ben Shim, behind the boards, making the shit sound buttery, at I Am Database, based with two S's. Follow us as a unit, at Kinda Neat, youtube.com/thatskindaneat, where you're going to see our returning guest, Penny Bird Rabbit, perform a song called Like a Fool. Very catchy tune. Everything is wrapped up together in a pretty package at kindaneat.net and facebook.com/kindaneat, blah, 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 social media. I still get questions about if you're, how can I listen to it mobily, which is crazy to me because to me, podcasts should be mobile or they should be listened to mobile. Like, I feel like if you're going to a website and listening to them, you're doing it wrong. Download the podcast app, subscribe, search for Kinda Neat. Hit that subscribe button and leave a comment or a 5-star rating, whatever you feel like doing. Get off your butt and do it, please. You know why? Because right now, today, as I'm recording this, it's my birthday. Well, it's technically the 7th. My birthday starts in 3 hours. My birthday is July 8th. And, man, I want to apologize to you guys for not doing a podcast for a while. I know it's been a minute. Like I said, we're kind of like down to one a month, unfortunately. And it's just been getting difficult to book the studio because Cosmic Zoo has gotten cracking. Let me tell you, there's always something going on here and a lot of cool people coming in here to record. So I'm going to get back on my due diligence and start recording or start booking episodes farther in advance so that we can actually get studio time. And I'm going to try to get, back to at least 2 a month or hopefully, right now I'm shooting for, there's going to be 4 weeks in a row where we're going to have an episode right now if everything goes according to plan and nobody cancels. So we shall see. That being said, what have I been doing for the last month? Fuck, I think I had stuff written down to talk about, but I forgot. I haven't really been doing much. I've been, I traveled, went to Florida. Florida is so miserably hot. It was humid and crazy, and going to the beach is of no relief because it's like just sitting in the bathwater. Or it's like sitting in bathwater when you're in the ocean. It's crazy. Like, you get hotter when you're in the water. It's insane. I have a birthday show coming up on Thursday. This episode is not going to be out by then to promote it. So that's pretty much what I've been doing, is just kind of prepping for that. Mark came down and we practiced and it went well. And, you know, throwing shows is nerve-wracking because I act as my own promoter and I put a lot of loot into, you know, making nice flyers and making sure that opening acts that I want to perform get paid and, renting equipment. And so it's nerve-wracking. I have no idea how well the promotion is going or how horribly the promotion is going. So we shall see. Hopefully a bunch of you guys came out because when this comes out, it will have been a week ago. Hopefully the show goes great, but I can't lie and say that I'm not nervous. Like I said, so nothing crazy has been going on. I'm going to be traveling again pretty soon. Just looking forward to going home next month, spending some time with the family during the summer. But I don't know. This podcast went kind of long. Penny and I, we go way back. You guys saw her on the show 2 years ago. She was our first video to really like go kaboom. And she was our number one video for a long time. And then she's still floating in the top 6 or 7. I don't know. She's floating in the top somewhere, over 200,000 views, which is awesome. Like I said, it's been harder for me to find guests lately. So on Twitter, I reached out and said, hey, if anybody wants to do some like return appearances, they would be welcome. I feel like we've done enough episodes to where we can do some catch-up episodes. And so somebody suggested, oh, you should do Penny. And I said, that's actually a great idea because Penny had a big life-changing event since the last time that we spoke, which is she had a daughter named Pepper, beautiful young baby. So I was like, that would be great to actually kind of catch up and see what has been happening with Penny's life, because oftentimes with females in the music industry, having a baby can all of a sudden be, unfortunately, like a death wish to a career, which is so crazy and sexist and misogynistic, I guess. And I know that she's still been working diligently at music, and I just wanted to hear about what's been going on, and it's always nice to catch up with friends. So, without further ado, this is my conversation with Penny Bird Rabbit. This is our second time doing a podcast together. Yeah. You were our fifth guest ever.
Yeah.
At the time, it was, you know, no one knew what Kinda Neat was.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, I mean, not to say that we're established at or anything like that, but it wasn't established at all back then. It was like kind of a gamble or a risk, I guess.
Sure.
And I remember we were having a conversation actually at Adam's house, and I was like, yo, you should do the podcast. And like, or maybe I wasn't there and I just had the story told to me, but I think Brittany told me, like, Penny was like, oh, should I do Lee's podcast? She was like, yeah, duh, it's dope. Just do it.
Yeah.
And then you did it.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was our first, dude, you were the first video to just like go kaboom.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah, it was tight. And to this day, it's still, I think, one of the top five or six videos.
I checked because I was curious because I used to be the top.
Yeah, for the longest.
And I'm definitely not anymore.
Well, yeah, but
I'm
for some reason, Kitties like ran.
Kitties is like huge. 700,000.
It's going to be
views.
At a million in no time.
Yeah.
And actually, this girl, Callie Uchis, for some reason, women on our podcast do really, really well.
Is she the blonde one?
Callie Uchis is Colombian. She is blonde, though. So
she's
has super
cool. She wore sunglasses during her. Rad. I watched a bunch of her videos.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
And but she's like really, really blowing up. So her video, we got a nice little kickstart off of the fact that like she's blowing up. So hers is like skyrocketing, too. And I think between those two, one of them is going to hit a million.
That's awesome.
Quick. But point being is that yours ended up being like our biggest video really fast.
Yeah.
Because before that, they were all, you know, around 10,000 views, and then yours went boom and hit 200,000, like all fast.
Yeah.
Because like Skrillex retweeted it.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, it was really nice. I played it for him, and then he said, man, I should post on my Facebook. And then I saw him a couple days later, and I was like, oh, hey, you should post it on your Facebook.
Yeah, and I got all excited, like, oh my God, Skrillex posted it. I'm like, Penny, make him do the show. You're like, I don't think he's going to do that.
Yeah. I don't think I can make him do anything. Yeah.
I was like, come on. I'm like, tell him that it's dope. It'll help.
Oh my
so
gosh.
One of these days, I'm always telling Ben, like, one of these days we're going to get your boy Skrillex on. He's like, oh, no, I don't think it fits the format. And I'm like, I don't care. It would be tight. It would just be tight to have him on. So.
I think he'd like it.
I mean, shit.
He's friendly.
I'm a good bullshitter.
Good.
Don't repeat that. Okay. Don't let your dad hear you repeat that.
I didn't say it.
I know. I'm just kidding. So anyway, a lot has happened since then.
Yeah, a lot.
Let's recap what was going on in your life when we last spoke, because it was at this point, what, 2.5 years ago?
Man, maybe I think longer, because I checked my... I did the math today.
It had to be 2013.
Yeah, it's been 22 months since I got pregnant, and I talked to you a couple months before I was pregnant. My hair was still pink. And so I would say like early 2013, maybe?
It was like March.
I think
it was like
YouTube.
It was like, yeah, it was early in 2013. It had to be like, you know, March, April, something like that. But yeah. So point is like, yeah, it's been over 2 years.
Yeah, a lot has happened.
A lot has happened.
Yeah.
At the time when we did that first podcast, what was going on in your life? You were signed or something?
Yeah, I'm still with Atlantic's dance label. And I put out, so around that time, it's hard now that I'm a mom to stay on track.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to help me out.
Okay.
Because my brain is just porridge. I was in and out of sessions, and I was, you know, I had my management and I had separated, and I was kind of in this limbo state where I was always on the phone with my lawyer and always on the phone with my A&R.
Ugh.
And it was like quite the time. And, luckily, I had a good relationship with both, and that was nice. And I'd met this guy on the internet, and I really can't actually remember how I met him, but we started making music. He was
on Tinder?
No, I've never even had Tinder.
I'm kidding.
Could you imagine? But no, I met him on the internet. He's from overseas, and we made some music together just over the internet. And he came out, and I had actually bumped into Sunny one day at the coffee shop in my old neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And he was like, what are you doing? You should come to my house. I have time. Let me like catch me up on everything. And he knew that I had left my management,
mm-hmm.
or that we had separated. And then I was kind of in this weird spot, and him and I have the same A&R. And so, we walked over to his house. I had my laptop and I played him a bunch of songs. And
Sunny is Skrillex for those of you that don't know. Oh. Now you know, but that's fine.
Perfect.
Go ahead.
So we went back to his house, and he listened and talked to me, you know, through what was going on, and I played him a bunch of stuff, and he ended up calling our A&R over, And we had like a little meeting, and I played him this. I was about to leave. I had to go to a session. And there's a song that I wrote that's really special to me that Sonny knows about. And I said, oh, hey, this guy Nick, he produced the song. And he was like, oh, let me hear it. And I played it for him. And he looked at me and he said, is this guy close by? Go get him. Bring him back here. So I grabbed Nick. We came back. And he asked us to make an EP for Ausla.
Yeah.
And so that was really cool. And they stuck us in the studio for 2 weeks. And from like 12 to like 8 o'clock at night, for 2 weeks, we were in the studio making, you know, an EP, and we did like 8 songs, 9 songs. And, yeah, like the second to last day of us being in the studio, we went over to meet with some of the Ausla people and played the project for them. And that was really cool. And then, sadly it took 14 weeks to get mixed and mastered, which like, are you kidding?
Right.
And it was really hard because I was really patient, and I am a huge believer in timing and just kind of letting things happen how they should, and being an honest, good person that works hard, and that I just trusted life in that way. And it was a shame because I was in a rehearsal space, like prepping for tour. Uh-huh. And in the meantime, while I was still kind of waiting for all that stuff, I was doing this project with Vans Shoes.
Right. Oh, I was part of that.
I know. And the video is coming out soon.
Oh, nice.
I know. It's so exciting. So, and you look great, by the way.
I saw Bera at the movie theater.
You did?
Yeah, but I didn't say hi to him. He was very busy.
Yeah, he's quite the busy guy. He came over and watched Pepper for me for a couple hours, which was really nice. He's the coolest. So, yeah, him and I met at a coffee shop downtown and became friends.
Bera, this is who we're talking about, who's like a famous skateboarder.
Yeah. We met and he said, hey, I have this thing. Can I submit you for it? And I said, yeah, whatever. That's totally fine. Cause Steve would always see me in the coffee shop editing videos or working on music. And, we just kind of had this cool friendship from it. And he texted me like months later and was like, hey, you got the thing. They want to do the campaign with you. And, that was like a crazy experience because, first of all, I was pregnant and I didn't know I was pregnant. And so right as we're like going, a couple of months went by and then we started the project and I was super emotional all the time. And I was
Well, we shot the video.
I was like 4 weeks pregnant when we shot that.
Oh shit. I had no idea.
I know. Me neither. I didn't know I was pregnant then.
Yeah.
In fact, this is crazy. While I was shooting it and while I make most of my videos, because my videos look like children's stories or plays.
Yeah, they're kind of like Where the Wild Things Are.
And they're very like DIY and like cheesy. The whole video I'm saying, and we shot everything I did because it was for like behind the scenes footage, right? So I had my video, but the whole point of doing the project was so that they could shoot every minute of it and then edit it into this cool thing. I eventually found out I was pregnant as I was like at Steve's house editing, and Steve had left me and this kid Josh alone, and Josh was going through all of the behind the scenes footage editing it. And he stopped, and I would ask him. It was nice to have him there because I didn't really know the program I was editing in because I used to use iMovie.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd be like, Josh, I need this, you know, I need help. And finally, he takes his headphones off and he goes, man, you say I'm going to be such a good mom a lot. Are you pregnant? And I hadn't told anybody I was pregnant yet. And I was like,
I thought he was going to be like, damn, look at how much weight you've gained since then. No, just kidding.
First of all, I lost like 10 pounds.
You didn't gain any weight. You and I are friends, I would say, but we weren't like talking all the time at that point. So like I found out because of an Instagram picture where you're like, hey, haha, I'm pregnant.
And everyone thought I was kidding.
I texted right after. I go, hey, that's a joke, right? Like you're just pushing your belly out. Cause you didn't look pregnant.
Yeah.
It just looked like if I eat pizza, I look like that. You know what I'm saying?
If I eat pizza now, I look like that.
So I was like, oh, no. I was like, she's just pushing her belly out.
Yeah. Literally everyone thought it was a joke. I got an unbelievable amount of texts from that.
So the dude Josh was telling
you. Yeah, so he like guessed it. And honestly, I thought I was peeing all the time because of the amount of green tea that I was drinking.
Yeah.
Like it was just a crazy time. But yeah, so we did that project, and so we ended up wrapping up the Vans project, and I made a video for my song called Time that still hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
And this time, in my life was really wild, because I get this call from my manager and he's like, we just finished the Vans thing. I hadn't even told my parents yet that I was pregnant. And he calls me and he's like, cool. This is my manager. He calls me and he says, this is going to be the next like 10 months. Talking about like touring, going overseas, doing all this and this and this and this. And it's amazing. I'm like, that's the most beautiful plan I've ever heard. I'm so excited. I'm ready to tour. I've been in the rehearsal space. I mean,
and then you're like, by the way, I've got morning sickness.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. My last rehearsals were me like on the floor drinking iced ginger tea, like trying to push through, we paid for the rehearsal space and I got really sick and I lost like 10 pounds. I was like down into the 90s, which was really terrifying. But I had to tell him, and I said, look, HM, I'm pregnant. That's going to make stuff a little bit weird, but just so you know, that kind of makes me more committed to this. This is the only thing I know.
Like, now I really got to make it work.
Yeah. Besides waiting tables and like nannying, music is all that I know how to do. Like need this. And so he was really great and supportive. And I mean, I lost a lot of sleep and I panicked about losing my record deal and losing my management, because you hear about people whose management drops them and that sucks. That sucks. And so he was really supportive. And during this time, also keep in mind, we're still waiting for my freaking EP to be finished mastered. And what happened was the guy who was doing it, who's awesome at what he does,
he got pregnant too. It was a scientific miracle.
Could you believe it?
No.
So they just had other projects that needed to be done before me.
Yeah.
And so that was
who hired him to do the mixing and mastering? Was it an Ouslet thing or was
no,
it
No, so it was my A&R connected us. And I've worked with that guy before. He had mastered some of my other stuff, so it was fine. But when you get the call that's like, hey, he's going to do like Cody Simpson's stuff before you, it's like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
And I was really patient. I was like, you know what? I'm going to trust this. Totally cool. And by the time it's finished, I had to tell... The label had found out, the Atlantic label, they had found out. And my manager calls me, he's like, look, Atlantic knows, so Ausla's going to know. Which basically, I wanted to be the one to tell them, and I wanted to be the one to tell Sunny that I was pregnant.
Yeah.
And it just kind of worked out one day. I was leaving an appointment, and it was an emotional appointment. Single parenthood is really emotional. And so I went downtown straight from my appointment, and I met up with some friends, and he just happened to be there. And I told him that I was pregnant, which was awesome. It was... After such a terrible day, you know, he's one of my favorite people in the world, and he made me feel really great about it, you know. So the next day, literally the next day, I am down at the Nest offices, which are like the Ausla offices. I think they're still called that. I'm not sure. I'm so detached from everything. But the offices where Ausla kind of is based, they used to do these like lunch parties. Do you remember that? I
know what you're talking about. I never attended.
I only went to this one.
Yeah.
And basically it was called like lunch break or something. They had some people DJ and I had my little belly and I was running around in the kitchen getting hot chocolate and kind of just hanging out. Just, I hadn't seen everybody in a long time. And I get this call from my manager and I go back into the offices where it's quiet. And he's like, so... We just got a call from your A&R, and we need to have a chat.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, oh, man, okay. So he tells me that the conversation was like, so Penny's pregnant. Why don't we – there were, like, some options, and I guess one of them was, why don't we hold off on releasing the EP and put her into sessions and work for the album? And then if we don't like the album – then we let her go and she has the EP to shop.
Right.
And I was livid because I felt like all of a sudden I wasn't capable of doing anything or that I wasn't looked at like I was capable of doing this.
Had the EP been teased at all? Like, had you announced that you were putting out an EP on Ausla?
No, this was in December.
How did the labels jive with each other? Was Atlantic like, oh yeah, cool, go do an EP with Ausla, that's fine?
Yeah, but my understanding...
Or was there like a little pushback or anything?
No, my understanding, and I could seriously be making this up, so I don't know. My understanding is that like Big Beat kind of facilitates Ausla, and that they kind of do the back end work.
Okay.
But I literally could be making that up.
Yeah.
But that's my understanding. So they were fine. I mean, Sunny is on Big Beat.
Yeah.
And... So it's all kind of connected It was a co-release. So it was like, we're both putting this EP out.
Right.
And from the Big Beat Atlantic end, it was like, hey, we need to slow down. I mean, we talked for like 45 minutes. In fact, like my friends that were like trying to leave, they couldn't find me because I was like in a back office, like crying, the phone with my manager, like, no. And I was really mad because I had like quit my job because I was told I'd be in all these sessions and I was told, you know, this and this, this would happen. And luckily, like you and I did the podcast and I got the Vans campaign and I did all these other things that were cool. Like I was in like a Para One video that Frankie Chan?
Yeah.
He shot this video and I got to like do that, and it was on the front cover of some website, which was cool. Pitchfork, maybe? I could make that up.
You're right.
I don't remember. But I had these little opportunities that were really cool that kind of just happened because of friendships.
Right, you were working.
Yeah, I was working.
But it was all, posy-based friendship stuff.
Yeah, and like stuff that I, you know, because of the relationships I have, I got them. And
right. Yeah, because it wasn't like your label was like, oh, hey, go do this guy's show. It was like, I had to like convince you that it would be cool.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And there's never been anything really like that. Yeah. They've been like, hey, there's this opportunity. There's been a few, but the real opportunities are ones that I have just through friendship. And so,
and I just want to, as a side note, any young artist listening, I would say that that's like the majority of how shit happens. When
literally, that's the only way to get it done.
You know what I mean? Like you have to kind of create friendships if you're not like one of the pinnacle artists. If you're just like floating, like people think, oh, if I get signed, then everything just happens. Like most people that get signed are still fucking completely unknown and they have to go do stuff on their own.
And there's this big ego that people have where they think, you know, they're the coolest and, you know, there's no effort to work hard and there's no, I mean, I truly believe that I've only made it as far as I have because I have been nice and people have been nice back to me and they're real genuine friendships and they are people that I really care for. Okay. So that phone call was devastating and I'm freaking out and I was basically like, and I can't remember exactly how the conversation went, but it was basically like, hey, they might drop you if you know, we don't know. And I really wanted to play shows pregnant. I really wanted to, you know, do like small little California tours. And I was ready. I had just been in the rehearsal space for like weeks getting ready by myself.
Right.
And, Chris was like, I don't know. Or my A&R was like, I don't know if this is a good idea.
Right.
And I was mad, like unbelievably angry. And I called Sunny and it just was like so lucky that I had seen him the day before and it all kind of worked out. And he was like, come over. Cause he could tell I was mad. I mean, I've known him for years. And so he could tell. And I went to his house and I told him what had happened. I told him about the conversation and I was like pregnant. And so I was really heated. I was like emotional. And I remember being like, I'm not yelling, but really angry. And I said, you don't think I can do this? Do you think I'm capable of doing this? Cause they don't, what do you think? And he was like, no, I know you can do this. And, you know, we had this conversation and it happened. And I left that night and I went and I remember I was playing cards with a girlfriend of mine at this coffee shop downtown Novel where we went one time. And, we were playing cards and I get a call from my A&R and he's like, you could tell he was kind of annoyed that I like called Sunny that I like did that.
Like you snitched.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, that's how he like came at me, but that's not what I did in my opinion. I went to the guy who asked me to friggin' do the EP and I was like, they don't want to put it out. And he was like, no. And you could tell that he was like a little bit annoyed. And I think he was really trying to just be like, look, if this doesn't happen for you, I want you to have something. Like I know that he's my friend. He cares about me.
Right.
And you know, I think he wanted should I get dropped, for me to have something to shop to other labels. And so, or to have just in my back pocket for anything.
Right.
And so, but I was like pretty pissed. You know, I was like my future is so uncertain. I'm like 4 months pregnant and I don't know what the heck is going to happen. And this was like a sure thing, I thought. And I kind of just said, what the heck have you done for me? Look what I've done for myself.
Uh-huh.
What have you done for me? And that was really hard. And my manager was like, don't say that. And, you know, because I told him I was so mad and I ended up just saying it. And it was kind of cool. Like all of a sudden there was like this, okay, like let's figure this out. But, you know, the EP got pushed back a few days and everything was just very stressful at the time. And on top of all this other stress in my life. And so it was just kind of wild. But we eventually put the EP out. We made a video for it and then like that was kind of it. And we had this cool campaign idea. It came out, like, it was supposed to come out on Valentine's Day. It ended up coming out 2 days before, which was fine. And we did, like, these Valentine's Day cards, and we did this video, and everything was really cool. But then it just kind of, like, sat there. And so I did this other video, and then it just kind of, you know, I mean, the videos did okay. They're, like, pretty, that numbers are pretty comparable to the rest of the stuff on my channel. Yeah. But it just, it felt like, and now?
Right.
And I should have done shows, but
was like, that your first like project that you put out, or what have you put out prior to that? I forget.
That's my third EP.
A third, okay.
Yeah.
In my experience, it always feels kind of anticlimactic, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. I mean, the first EP was like thrilling because I made this music video out of my own pocket, and I just handed it to the label, and I was like, put this out.
Well, I felt like the first time I put something out, I went like, and I had it in my hand, like a physical copy, because at the time, iTunes wasn't even barely a thing when I put my first
CD. Never had a physical copy of anything I've ever done.
I've always done physical copies, and I held one in my hand, and I went, oh man, this is it. Like, this is, we're gonna be famous now. And then I was like, oh wait, nothing fucking happened. And then, and then the next one that I put out, I was like, oh man, this one's way better than the last one. Maybe it's gonna happen this time.
Yeah.
And then nothing happens, and then by the time you put out a bunch more, you're like, oh, I know the process, and I know that what it's going to feel like,
and I
know the numbers that I'm expecting
it's
to project.
Learning.
Yeah, it's a learning thing. So,
totally.
But that's the thing, is it always kind of feels anticlimactic.
Yeah, and I think just for that time, I mean, I had all this hope to actually tour. I mean, because my first management was like, we're not going to play shows because you've played shows with DJs and we don't want to play small shows. And it was like this weird thing. And they didn't want me performing in front of a smaller crowd than what I had performed with DJs. It was really odd. And to their credit, they didn't know how to manage a singer.
Meaning what? Like, oh, you played with this DJ who was able to draw 2,000 people, so we don't want you playing in front of anything less than 2,000 people?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Totally.
Because, I mean, to me, you should be in... I mean, when
I should
you're,
be at, like, bars.
When you're starting off, yeah. You in particular would thrive in, like, a small, like, 200-cap venue where you can sit and tell stories and yada.
Yeah, and that's what's next for me.
Yeah.
But with that EP release, you know, we had sort of just planned on, like, let's make it really simple and let's just play to tracks. Like, screw it.
Right.
Finding a band was really tough, and it's sort of like a favor thing. And I didn't really know, like, anybody.
I'm kind of surprised you guys didn't hit me up to play the Rain Stick. Aww. I'm really good at it.
Come to band practice on Tuesday.
I'll play the shit out of that Rain Stick. I'll go barefoot on stage and just not even caring.
Perfect. Really, that sounds like it's going to fit the
I'll fit
vibe.
Your aesthetic. The dad bod vibe.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, so like, I didn't really know, like, studio musicians that could just, like, form a band with me. And, you know, it was just tough, and I was juggling a lot, and they put me in a bunch of meetings and sessions with writers. And I, on top of that, like, I was, like, money stopped coming in from the label.
Right.
And it was like,
why is it like the advance runs out, or what is it?
Sort of. So like, when I got my deal, they gave me half of it.
Yeah.
And the agreement was that when I delivered my record, I'd get the second half. But because I was doing EPs, which weren't in my deal, they ended up giving me my second half monthly. Mm. And when that ran out, I was like, hey, I'm still working. What can I get? And also because they asked me to quit my job. And so I was not working as waitress anymore, and I was nannying and doing, I mean, I'm a hard worker, so I was still like doing all these little odd job things. But there was like a point where I was only getting $1,200 a month, and I had to ask for $1,400 because I didn't have food to eat. And I remember having like a bag full of like corn bread muffins from the dollar store that I made, and like going over to like Sunny's studio actually, and he like grabbed it out of my hand and he took a bite of it. He's like, this is disgusting, and he threw it on the ground, and he's like kind of just giving me a hard time. But I don't think he definitely didn't realize that was like
your only
that
food.
Was the food that I had.
He went, oh shit, there goes the rest of my month.
I was like, dinner, like
you just dive slow motion to catch it as he's throwing it.
it felt like that. It was really sad. I mean, I was like poor.
Yeah.
And so yeah, when the year was done and that was over, they started tapping into my budget for my record, mm-hmm. for the full length. And with the whole new change of my body and what was happening, that stopped. It was like, we can't ask for that anymore. And I didn't really fight it. I don't really remember what happened, but it was like my management tried, and it was like, we're not going to get it. We need to figure something else out.
The money. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so at about like 5 or 6 months pregnant, I like went back to work. And I couldn't just like show up and apply for a job. I had this huge tummy. And so I did all this weird stuff. Like I did some personal assistant work for a friend who like managed an artist, which was really humbling because when I'm like working on this other artist, and I don't want to talk about who it was, but when I'm like doing her schedule and like filling out her calendar and it's like all the stuff that I should be doing, it was hard. I really had to like swallow, you know, and just bite the bullet and just like do it, because it was really tough to, I cleaned houses. It was all the things I did were like super humbling jobs, you know?
I tried to hire you to help me pack boxes for my album release last year, but there's like something went wrong.
Remember what happened.
I think Mark's girlfriend came in there.
Yeah. I worked at like a juice stand at this mall in Century City, but I had to park at the bottom and like walk up this big hill.
Yeah.
And I would have to stop and like rest, and people come up to me because I had this pregnant belly and they'd be like, are you okay? And
let me get a piggyback ride.
And I'm like, can you just put me on a skateboard and like drag me up this hill? Yeah. It was really physically taxing, you know, and it's like in the middle of summer. It's like, and I'm walking up this massive hill on Santa Monica Boulevard. And then I nannied pretty regularly and music. I mean, I was in sessions and working up until I went into labor. And so I didn't have a ton of time to like get back into the studio. I was taking these meetings, and like one of my last sessions was like with Linda Perry, which was super cool. And I had this huge, you know, pregnant belly, and I'm like singing in her studio, which is gorgeous. And it was nice, and it was a good time. But I was just focused on working hard and saving money so that I could like relax for 2 months with my kid. And so sessions kind of got weird, and I was in these meetings that were like, okay, after you have the baby, then these people's schedules will open up and you can be booked with them. So I had Pepper, and which was crazy. And
how did you come up with the name
Pepper?
Yeah.
I don't know. One day, like she kicked a lot. She's super long. She's like in the 95th percentile for height, and I'm like 5'3", and she's huge. And
already 5'3".
She's totally. Oh. She's like where she comes up on my leg is like really
she
crazy.
She's a long baby.
She's super long.
Yeah.
My best friend's baby is in like the 5th percentile, so it's super funny to like see the two of the girls together, because Pepper's like this giant and Brooklyn's like this tiny thing.
Yeah.
And you never expect Pepper to be so big when you look at me, but she kicked me one time, and I just yelled out, Pepper, no. I don't know why I did it.
Yeah.
I might have thought about the name before, and I liked the name Pepper, and I didn't really know what her middle name was going to be. And then if I had a boy, I wanted his middle name to be James after my grandpa. And then I thought, Pepper James. And it just sounded – I went through like all the like the A, Pepper E, Pepper I to like see what would sound nice. And A sounded the best, and then I just went with Pepper James is her name.
That's tight.
Yeah. She's awesome.
I like it. I've never heard the name Pepper. I'm down.
So I lie sometimes and say that it's from Iron Man, because people will go like, oh, where'd you get that? And it's Iron Man's girlfriend's name.
So every
once in a while, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know. And people will go like, is it from Iron Man? And I just say, yeah.
That's right. I forgot
it's fun.
About that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, so I took like a couple months and just sort of had some rest with her. I mean, I like had her, and my mom came home from the hospital with me, and 2 days later my mom had to go.
Yeah.
So it was like me in my apartment with this new baby.
Well,
it was crazy.
How's that maternal instinct though? Did it just kick right in?
You know, yeah. And honestly, I've been babysitting since I was 12.
Oh yeah, true. You're like, you just said you were nannying and everything. So like you're familiar with the process of the things that need to happen with a child.
Yeah. So it was pretty okay. And honestly, Pepper is such a cool baby.
Very relaxed baby.
She's super cool.
I told you when I met her that I thought she was like a very old soul. It seems like she just kind of looks at people and like, you know, I don't know. She's like a very eye contact baby, but like she's kind of like analyzing or something.
Yeah. And she's always been super aware and present, and I am the weirdo that like thinks it's because I had a natural birth. And so they say that babies that are born when the mom has an epidural, like, well, the epidural affects the baby. It like it drugs the baby, and it's safe, it's totally fine. I mean, I was a C-section and I'm okay. But they just, I've heard that babies that are born naturally are much more aware and present. And they took Pepper to the NICU right away because of some issue with her blood. Mm-hmm. Her like white blood count was off, and somewhere when she came out, the umbilical cord got pinched. And anyways, they took her really fast from me, which was really weird because I felt her the last like woohoo, and there she was, and I just went into shock. Like, I just remember my body like being thrown back, and I just laid there, and there she, and I remember looking and being like, who's that? Like, that's not my baby. Like, you just, it was such an out of body experience.
Really?
I was so like
in, well, yeah, how was the pain? Crazy.
I was in labor for 11 hours.
Oh my goodness.
And I pushed for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And I think people go, that's so fast. And it's fast because I did it naturally.
Because you had to get it out of there.
Well, and like an epidural slows your labor down. Mm. And, but I remember like my girlfriend Kate was there, and her husband played for me on the Lele show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
That will be later, yeah. I guess. But she was there. She has now 4 girls. She was pregnant at the time. And I watched their girls all the time, and we were close. And so they took Pepper out, and they didn't even give her to me right away. Mm-hmm. They had to like look at her because she was so white because there was not a lot of blood in her. Mm-hmm. And I looked at Kate and I said, did you get a new wedding ring? And Kate was like, shut up. You just had a baby. Mm. Because I just wasn't like, it didn't, everything was confusing to me. And right. She looked at me like, I thought she was going to slap me because I was just so out of it. And then they give me the baby. And honestly, I look back at pictures and I can't really remember that.
Yeah.
Like, I remember looking, I remember being like, her hand is so small. And there's pictures of me like looking at her hand, like, whoa.
Yeah.
But I mean, I felt my body tear. And I mean, I was just like, gone.
Yeah.
I was in shock. And they took her to the NICU, and I didn't get to see her for like a couple hours, like 5 hours. And when I got to go see her finally, my whole family was there. And my sweet brother waited in the waiting room for the entire 12 hours. Yeah. Isn't that so sweet?
Yeah.
And I got to see her.
You gave birth in L.A.?
Yeah, up in Panorama City.
And they're all down in like San Diego, so yeah. They all drove up?
Yeah.
Nice.
My brother was actually out in like Santa Monica area, so he just kind of like came really fast.
Yeah.
But I stuck my hand in the incubator to touch her, and she was looking around. I mean, she just was so present. And I crack up because I went, she has so much hair. And I was so bald when I was born. And so her hair was just so like, that's not what I had expected.
She got as much hair in her head as I had on my back when I was born.
That is
a lot
so
of hair.
Nasty.
A lot of hair.
I went to touch her head, like her head.
Yeah.
And she like pushed my hand away.
She said, nah.
She was like, nah.
Don't touch my hair.
Yeah. And
she
that's her.
Said, I woke up like this.
That is her personality. It's so crazy. I mean, from freaking the moment she was out, she was like, mom, please.
Yeah. I've never seen a 1.5-year-old tie her shoes the way that she does. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my gosh. Would you imagine? She's really smart.
So how does life change after you have a child?
Oh man, it's crazy. So many things.
So how did your parents react to finding out that you were pregnant? Because I know you guys are raised in like a pretty religious family, yeah?
Yeah, so that was pretty wild. I waited till I was into my second trimester because I just wanted to, this sounds terrible, but I mean, I just wanted to make sure everything was going to be smooth, you know?
Right.
I didn't want to bring anything up if something sad was going to happen.
Right,
so,
absolutely.
No need to cause pain for them not pain, but no need to cause stress, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like 4 months pregnant, and I told them, and it was really, it was not what I expected at all. I expected my mom to be furious and for my dad to just kind of sit there.
Yeah.
My dad just kind of sat there, and my mom just started crying and hugged me, and it was really nice. And to be honest, not that we had you know, a weird family dynamic, but there had just, you know, as you get older, things in your family get weird. And Pepper and my pregnancy and everything have really brought my family to a really cool place. My mom actually said to one of my friends, I don't remember who she said it to, but they told me that my mom was like, honestly, Pepper is the best thing that ever happened. I'm so glad she got pregnant.
Nice.
Which is like so cool. And man, it is like quite the deal to see your parents like love a baby you made.
It's
wild. And you know,
is she Do they have other grandkids at this point?
No, she's the first.
You're the first.
Yeah.
But she's the first.
Yeah, and she's the first great-grandbaby.
She's going to be their favorite forever. That's
forever.
What that means. That's what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always a certain hankering for the first.
Yeah, and she definitely can say papa. And my dad just like melts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, she looks so much like your dad, too,
she
is what I was saying.
So much like my
dad.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's great that they're happy then.
Yeah, it's been really cool. It kind of made me, like, you know, appreciate my motherhood, like my mother, and like appreciate motherhood. And,
right.
I mean, being a parent is so crazy. It's changed me in so many ways. And it's, you know, honestly, what it did is it went like, oh, okay, here's your life, Penny. Here's all the good stuff and here's all the crap. And I went like, and cut it in half. And I was like, this has got to go.
Right.
And relationships that were garbage are done and gone.
Yeah.
You know, I had people that were like, wow, you really shouldn't even have a baby. It's going to ruin your career.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, excuse me?
Yeah.
And there was no doubt in my mind that I was not going to have a baby.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to have this baby. And honestly, you know, there were people that were like, you should really place her, you know, in a home.
Wow.
And focus on your career.
People
and,
were saying, like, we're telling you give her up for adoption?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That seems like a fucking ballsy thing to say to somebody.
Oh, I mean, the
pardon my French.
No, I mean, hearing someone say to you, it's a huge mistake having a baby.
Yeah.
It's going to ruin your whole life. It's like, okay, yeah. Let me just cut you.
Yeah,
let me
you're
just,
gone.
Let me kick you over here.
That's almost like a sociopathic thing to say to somebody.
You know, whatever. I mean, in LA, there's just this whole environment is like selfish and whatever. And I don't take it too personally. That's just, it definitely is not about me. And it's definitely not about my kid. It's like their weird perception of being a parent. And that doesn't actually have to affect me. And so, you know, whatever. It definitely just sort of filtered out all the BS.
Right.
It made everything that was like not as important kind of go away. And it's been, man, it's been amazing. And it has been really, really hard.
Yeah.
You know, trying to balance like supporting her with a career, you know, and like keeping a house clean. Like my roommate has been fantastic, you know, but she's gone a lot. She travels and...
What does she do?
You know, she does like kind of commercial work.
Yeah.
But she has her boyfriend and her, they travel a lot. And
yeah,
so it's kind of just me at home with Pepper. But keeping like a house, I can either like keep a house clean. I can do, okay, so there's three things and I can only do two of them every day.
Right.
I can get some stuff done that I need to get done and I can make Pepper happy and I can have a clean house. And when my roommate's there, it's clean house and happy baby.
Yeah.
When my roommate is not there, it's dirty house, happy baby, accomplished mom.
Yeah.
You know, but also it varies every day. Like it's so unpredictable. And, you know, you master a phase of this kid's life and you're like, I have got this.
Yeah.
And then 2 months, you know, of that or a month of that and things change.
Right.
She has a
you're
new
like,
tooth or she has this
you're like,
going
oh,
on.
It's so easy to make her laugh with these keys and then you're like, oh man, she hates the keys now. I gotta find something else.
And she's a pretty like somber baby. She's really serious. And she giggles and stuff, but she's not like a giggly little thing.
Yeah.
She's happy and she like gives her baby's hugs, but she's
the whole time I was at the whole time I saw her, she was just insanely cracking up. So I don't know.
When was that?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was like, Lee, I don't think that's true.
She was very serious.
Yeah.
She smiled a bit.
Yeah, I mean, she's happy.
That was the whole old soul thing. I was like,
yeah.
She's just so serious and
like
contemplative. She seems contemplative.
Yeah, she's very thoughtful. And honestly, like, I've had some people say, you know, some nice things. And one of them was that, like, she just is very present and aware and acknowledges you.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that about her. Yeah, she's done nothing but, like, better my life.
What are those first 2 months like that you take off with her?
Honest, they're such a blur. They're, like, I'm trying to learn how to nurse her, which was, like, freaking crazy. And there's nobody in my house to be like, oh, you should nurse like this. And I remember, like, being up to, like, 6 o'clock in the morning because she was such a slow nurser. She's, like, super lazy eater. And so I would just – I remember, like, sobbing and being like, I can't do this. So the first 2 months were crazy. And I had people come over from my church that, like, brought me food so I didn't have to, like, make dinner all the time.
Yeah.
And I was alone, and so they'd come, and some of them I didn't know. They were just super nice people that were like, I'm going to make dinner for this woman that just had a baby. And they'd come, and I'd be like, please, come in, sit. Can I get you water? And, like, I would just keep them as long as possible because I had no human contact.
Right.
Like,
you feel like a lot of your, like, scene friends just kind of dipped out?
Oh, man. Like, 1,000%.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry if I'm guilty of that.
No, you came over. I made dinner for you once or twice, and I saw you, and, you know, but other people, yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, the friendships that were genuine and, like, real and solid, yeah. That, like, you're my friend, and I care about you.
Right.
You know, and not that other people I don't care about or that they...
Yeah, I always try to check in. But that's the thing is, like, we're fucking grown-ups and we live in L.A. and we live far from each other. So
and
you
do our
you
own
do,
stuff.
Yeah, you do what you can. But I would imagine... And that's the thing is, like, I'm a 34-year-old man and I'm well aware of this. But I would imagine the, like, younger friends that were, like, seeing kids were probably just like, I'm out.
Yeah, honestly, I went to...
Oh, you can't come to the party no more? All right, see you.
Yeah. I went to Sunny's birthday party this year and it was, you know, one of the... I've only gone out a few times to that kind of thing, you know, after having a baby. And I had just done the Late Late Show. And I thought, like, cool, like, I'm, like, relevant still. Like, I just did this thing on TV. Like, it's going to be fine. And it was terrible. I mean, it was really...
Where have you been?
No, it was more like, oh, so how is
oh,
it?
Oh, shit. Like, I'm sorry that you have a kid now. How are you?
Straight up. Yeah. And there were a few people that, like, surprised me that were like, I saw the performance. But they were not the people that I thought would be the ones to say it. And in fact, like, I remember I actually bumped into a guy I dated. And I ran up to him and I'm like, hey. And he turned around and was like, oh, hey. And I said, how are you? And he goes, I'm fine. How's the little one?
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, oh.
All awkward.
It, like, went like, oh. And, like, yeah. Just was, man.
Right.
I was like, oh, yeah, cool. You said you'd call me tomorrow 2 years ago?
Oh, shit.
I mean, it's fine. Like, yeah. I saw him, and so I wanted to, like, not.
You're like, oh, yeah, by the way, it's yours.
Could you imagine? 2 years later.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I didn't want it to be weird.
Right,
and
right.
Why should it be? Like, we used to say I love you to each other. Like,
right.
It's fine. It should be cool, but, and I have no weirdness, but that was the energy of the entire night. It was like, oh, yeah. So
right.
What's that like being a mom? Like,
right.
Who's watching your baby tonight?
Like, people, like, it was a cancer or something. Like, oh, how is it?
It's like everyone felt sorry for
you. Yeah, right.
And it, like, was so maddening because, like, it just made me realize that I'm not really in, I definitely don't belong in that scene. Like, the electronic, cool, like,
yeah
like, I can, like, dabble in it, but, like, it is not my world. My world is, like, singer-songwriter stuff. It's
Disney,
like,
princess.
Man, you nailed it.
Real talk. Hey, this is a funny thing, but one time you were playing me stuff in my car, and you had produced it all. I was like, you produced this? And you're like, yeah I made these. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And they were so good. And I said, dude, like, you should be, like, the singer for a Disney princess. And you're like, that's, like, my dream.
It is my dream.
Yeah.
It is totally my dream. And I'm really hoping in this year that I can, like, somehow make a connection and, like, audition for something.
Yeah, your songs would be great as, like, you know, when they do the Little Mermaid reboot, you should be Ariel.
Yeah, man. Did I play you my Cinderella cover that I produced? Is that
maybe
that might be what I played?
No, I don't think it was that. But I think, like, I said the Disney princess thing, and you're like, I did a cover of Cinderella song. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I couldn't put it out because Disney's, like, psychotic.
Yeah.
I mean, Disney's amazing, but they would have been mad and they would have pulled it down.
Right,
my lawyer was like, you can't.
Yeah, totally.
So
the EDM thing is not really your scene. It's just kind of where you fell into when you moved here.
I don't even know when we met,
it was, like, cut through Adam and Romo, and it was because of the parties, and we were just always Adam at them, not Adam, but there was rumors that they were, like, filming a reality TV show about the party scene.
I was mic'd for that.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you were one of the characters, and I was and it was
gosh.
So funny.
They were always trying to, like, Adam's always like, name all the DJs you know, and I was like, Adam, shut up.
Yeah.
Brittany
yeah.
Scott was like, yeah, these are all the DJs I know, and I was
right.
like, I can't.
And then they came, like, I remember they came specifically to a party where I was bartending and, like, crazy things happened. And at the end, Adam was like, dude, don't you think Lee should be Mike now? And I'm like, oh, shit. Can I be Spencer Pratt in this? I want to be the bad guy.
Man, honestly, I'm, like, so glad that all kind of...
It all fell through.
Fell through, yeah.
And that's the crazy thing about Los Angeles is there are reality shows filming at all times everywhere.
Yeah, for
Everything
sure.
Everything is a reality show.
We're filming one right now.
Kind of. indeed. The Late Late Show, we talked the last time that you were on about the fact that your old job you had, you met Drew Carey through it because he's just come in.
Yeah.
And you guys maintained a friendship, and yeah. Drew's like a cool, down-to-earth guy.
He's one of my favorite people, one of my best friends.
There you go. So, and then he was guest hosting for the Late Late Show.
Yeah. So
brings you in.
Yeah. It was really nice. He texted me, and in fact, I was at the aquarium in San Diego with my dad and my kid, and it was like Thanksgiving weekend, and I get this text that's like, hey, I'm hosting the Late Late Show in January, trying to get you on. I'll keep you posted.
Yeah.
And my heart like sank into my butt, and I was like, and I showed my dad, I'm like,
that sounds physically impossible.
I mean, could you imagine? Yeah, and I just...
You said you showed the text to your dad?
I showed it. My dad's like, oh my gosh, it'd be so cool. Yeah. And my dad's awesome. Yeah. And we were kind of excited, and he's like, tell your mom when we get home. And I didn't want it to be like a thing.
Yeah, because you don't want to jinx things,
man,
kind of.
And how many times are they like, this is going to be the coolest thing ever? Ugh. And then like nothing happens, and you're like, cool, I got like super hyped. I like an EP release. It's like, you know, super, like what a bummer. But so I waited a couple of weeks, and a lot, and during that time of waiting, there was like this pressure from the label to deliver like 10 new songs that were like, you know, cool and new. And at 4 months of Pepper being alive, I went into a meeting with my A&R, and I was like, hey, I'm here, wake up, let's get the ball rolling. Where are those sessions you promised me a month and a half ago? And it was like, everyone's busy, you know. And it was sort of like, man, not to throw anyone under the bus, but this is a direct quote. You know, I know you and your management see a lot of potential in your songs that you have, but like, I just don't.
Ooh.
And I was like nursing my baby, and I was like, oh yeah, okay, I'll totally write you new ones. Like, no problem. Ugh. And it was like, I left like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing here? Like, does he care? Like, is this the right fit for me? Like, it was just so confusing. And, I was really at like a... I find that like
crossroads,
man, and every day is like that, honestly. Yeah. Every day is like, is today gonna like go well? Like, I don't know. And everything is so stressful all of the time now, to be honest.
Yeah.
And so I had a lot of this pressure, and I was like in and out of trying to like write 10 freaking new songs. And the Late Late Show opportunity, when it got confirmed, I was like, awesome.
Yeah.
This is going to be sick. And I was super stressed because it was like right before Christmas.
Yeah.
And I tried to figure out what song I was going to perform, and we got this, you know, song, and then we at Christmas break, and it was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Practicing and everything has to come to a halt because everyone's going home for Christmas or whatever.
Yeah. And no one is at the label, and no one's, right, you know, doing this. And I had to go up to Utah for Christmas to see my grandparents, and I got sick. And I couldn't, like, I literally had, like, a week to rehearse because by the time I was, like, home and my cold was gone, that's all the time I had. And we delivered the track, like, the Monday after the second or whatever it was. And we performed on, like, the 7th or something. And we had, like, 5 days to get on iTunes, to get on Spotify, to get all these things cleared, to get, like, paperwork signed, and to, like, get ready. And I was, like, jump roping every day. I was, like, physically trying to, like, push my body to a limit because I hadn't... Never performed live, actually.
Are you good at jump roping?
Yeah.
We should compete.
Okay.
I'm good at it.
We should video it.
All right, I'm down.
Okay.
Okay, so you had never released, or you never performed live?
Nah.
What do you mean?
I've never played a show.
You have to. You haven't?
No.
Oh, I didn't know that. Let's throw you a show.
Yes, please.
It'd be easy.
I know, but I'm not like a band now, so we should do it.
All right.
So, yeah, I never performed
live. I didn't
live.
Know that. I thought you were,
crazy.
Like, out. Yeah.
No, and because I was trying to with the last EP, and it just, like, didn't happen. And there's only so much a little tiny girl can do by herself.
So your first performance of ever was on TV?
Yes.
That seems like a crazy break.
It was the craziest thing. Yeah. So, yeah, so it was such a cool day, though. Like, I had some help. I had some friends watch Pepper, and my parents came up, and my roommate was there, and... We, my girlfriend Nicole, who is awesome, did my hair and makeup.
Shout out Nicole.
Yeah, Nicole. She got my hair today.
Oh, yeah.
Across the street, actually. I parked and I was like, oh my gosh, I could have just stayed here all day. So, yeah, she came and, okay, check this out. They picked me up in a Tesla.
Oh, snap.
Which was like the coolest thing. Like, they had a car come and pick me up. And, like, that morning I had like a stylist come over and dress me. And
you were like dressed all in white, right? And you had blonde hair at the time. You looked like an angel on stage.
You know? It was really funny.
I retweeted the video.
I'm a real friend.
You are a real friend. It was so funny because we were backstage and I wanted to wear a hoodie because it was like freezing.
Yeah.
And so the sweet stylist that was there like ran to the Grove and was like, I got to get her a white hoodie. And it was so big that we were making all these jokes. It was so fun because I had two dressing rooms and I had like my A&R, my management in town from New York, which was so cool. Then we had like some PR people from the label come, and my friend David, who wrote the song with me, was there to play the piano with me. And then I had like, you know, hair and makeup. My Nicole was there, and it was just really cool. And I walk out of the from changing, and I'm wearing like my white outfit that I wore, but I'm wearing this big white hoodie, and I looked like I belonged on the cover of Millennium by the Backstreet Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, you can't go on stage with this big hoodie.
Right.
So it was really cold and I was like freezing on stage. Yeah. But it was really cool. Like the whole experience was really nice. We sound checked and Drew came on the stage and it was really nice. Like everything was just so kind. There were like flowers in my dressing room from him and it was just so sweet. So check this out. So they're like, okay, after the show, you're going to go over there and talk to Drew.
Yeah.
And they kept saying that to me like during soundcheck. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure like after I'm done.
But you didn't realize
done,
it was going to be a TV segment. Because usually
that's not a thing.
That's not a segment usually.
Yeah.
It usually goes straight from performance to like that's the end of the show.
That's the end.
Right.
So I'm like waiting behind like the wall or whatever to like go out onto the stage. Yeah. And I'm like huffing patchouli. I have like essential oils and I'm like, patchouli is like super calming. So yeah. I was like, me and David were like rubbing our hands. My mom is in the audience cracking up because I'm like, you know, on stage, like just breathe, Penny, breathe, you know? And after they were like, come back and get mic'd and then you're going to go sit on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
So I did the first, we ran through the song twice, which was really cool. And they ended up taking the second take. And I didn't even know they would do that. And they said that soundtrack. They're like, you know what? We'll just like probably do it twice. And I was like, oh, okay. And so they did. And that's why like when Drew runs down, he's like, you killed it again. Because that was the second time performing it.
Right.
And going on to the couch was like, it was like the coolest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
It was so cool. And I want to do it all the time. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Did you guys talk about afterwards?
He asked, we talked about how we met.
Yeah.
And he made some jokes about like what he would order.
Right.
And then he asked me if I wrote that song about every boyfriend I've ever had or like a specific person.
Right.
And then I said, oh, it's about a person. And then he swore at the camera and told the guy off basically. And it was really funny. And I was so embarrassed because I was like, what if that guy watches? And he like, I don't know. I don't think he did. In fact, I asked and I don't think he saw it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just all so funny how that full circle that was. Cause the very first time I went into your old job, actually with Adam and Romo,
it was like one of my it was like my last day.
Last day, I think we went into like celebrate your last day. He was walking out until, and I went, who is that? Who is that handsome man getting on? And I went, wait, that's Drew Carey. How is Drew Carey so handsome in real life?
Like, he's so handsome.
Very strange.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I grew up in the 90s watching him, before he even had a TV show, I used to watch Drew Carey's stand-up.
Yeah.
And that was his whole bit, was that he was like a dorky looking ugly dude. And then you see him in real life and you're like, oh, he's like actually dashing.
So I sent
pause him, to all that.
What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
when I dyed my hair blue, I sent him a picture of it and he was like, man, I should do a color. And I had this app and I was like, oh my gosh. And I was making his hair every color.
That's
and
so
then
funny.
I made it blonde and he dyed his hair blonde. It's bleached, which is so cool.
Nice.
He looks awesome.
Yeah.
I take credit for that.
So how was the response of doing the TV show? What happened with the label after that? Were they happy about it?
Yeah, I think so.
Or they were just like, eh, whatever.
You know, we've pulled the song off iTunes just for some like back end issues with like whatever that we don't have to get into. But
yeah,
Songwriting and publishing and all those things get so confusing.
Yeah. And you know, we didn't really have like a huge budget to pay. We didn't pay, you know, the friend that did it, and it was just kind of messy and it got weird. And instead of making it a thing, I was like, you know what, let's just take it down.
Right.
So but a lot of the response was like, can you release the acoustic version?
Yeah.
Which is so cool, you know? And I had a spike in my numbers, mainly Facebook, which is really funny to see like what different opportunities like show on what, how does it right. like what social media like jumps depending on what opportunity
for
it
certain,
is.
Because different social medias, here's the thing is that some people have huge Twitter followings and then they have no Facebook following, which mm-hmm. means they're probably really cool in a specific scene, but they don't yeah. have any fans that are willing to spend money on them. And then some people have really huge YouTube followings, but they don't have Twitter followings.
I have friends like that.
You know
and
what
it's
I'm
like
saying?
Amazing how many YouTube followers they have and they have
no
Twitter, Facebook,
right.
no Instagram, nothing.
Right.
My Facebook really jumped and yeah. it was so cute to see.
It's because older people watch it probably.
Yeah. And all of the comments are like people that are not,
you
I mean,
look just like my daughter.
Yeah. It was like, oh my gosh, this was such a sweet performance. Yeah. And it was all these, like, you could just tell by the icons. It was like moms and dads and grandmas.
Right.
And, it was really cool. And it was just really reassuring. And all the comments like were honestly so nice. And mm-hmm. That's all that you can freaking ask for. You know, there yeah. was no one being like, she sucked, you know,
right.
at least that I know of. I stopped looking, but
yeah.
it was crazy because I went home that night after the show.
In the Tesla?
No. Can you believe that? I rolled up to the studios in a Tesla and I saw my manager and I was like, hey, can you stop the car? The lady who drove me was so nice. And we rolled the window down and I was like, hey. And he was like, man, I can't believe you're in a Tesla. It was the coolest thing. They have like a huge computer screen on their dashboard.
Yeah.
No, so I went home with my family and I had to go to bed early because I was exhausted. And
right.
Pepper decided that 5 o'clock would be a really good time to wake up.
Right.
And that happens. And we wake up from like 5 to 7 every morning. And so it was 5 o'clock and I was like, oh my gosh. And the performance is on YouTube and I freaked out and I watched it like 7 times. And mm-hmm. then I had to go pay a parking ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back and watched it even more times. And then that's like when some rough things started happening with like the friend who introduced me to the producer. And it got kind of like weird. And I just kind of took away from the magic of the of the experience. And it's been kind of a bummer because the experience was so beautiful. And everything afterwards was really rough. Like my A&R left early, didn't really say very much to me after. Mm. And I don't know why. You know, and I feel like I've been saying some weird stuff, but he's so cool. It was all just like a weird experience.
So you guys are still, so you're still with the same A&R guy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the label thing is still going on?
Yes. Well, so right now, what happened after the show is I like assumed and hoped, I didn't assume, I hoped it would kind of buy me a little bit of time to work on these other songs.
Right.
And so, man, I'm really saying a lot. I hope it's okay to say this, but you know, I sent the performance to the head of the label,
yeah.
to the CEO, and I was like, hey, I just wanted you to
see this. Right.
And he was like, man, this is so cool. Can't wait to hear what's up for the record. And I was like, cool. Awesome. I've made that connection. That feels good. And I delivered what we, had worked on. And it was sort of like, yeah, but, and it was like, okay, you know, what are we going to do? Like, I'm at a point where I'm like, I cannot fail.
Right.
Like, I've got to move forward.
Right.
And so it was sort of like, well, you can find yourself an executive producer that the label would approve. And I was like, I'm on it.
Okay.
And I got one. And it was like, cool, that sounds great. I just need to hear some songs. So I was in the studio for a couple of days, just structuring out. Because what happens when you're a female artist who I produce, but I don't fully produce all my stuff. Like I songwrite, and then I write all the parts, and then I take those to people, and they keep those elements in the song,
build to them.
Yeah, and they add, and or they go like, okay, this is really cool, but it doesn't need to be this repetitive. Or like, let's actually take this drum part and make a fill right here.
Yeah.
And so it's always been that way.
Right.
Like every EP, I've had my hands all in it.
Right.
And so, but what they do is they throw you to all these different producers, and all your songs sound so different because producers are like, this is my song.
Right.
And when you go to these kinds of producers to write a song, you're not really doing production, you're songwriting.
And these are dudes who are, they're like music factories. You know what I mean? These producers, they all have a studio that they go to work in every day. Like it's their office, and they sit and their self-assignment is to like make songs every day.
Yeah.
And then they shop them to people, they shop them to labels, they shop them to artists that they think would sound good over it, whatever, whatever. And so when they meet an artist, they're like, oh, you're Penny, you would sound good like this. And then
it's very like clinical and like, this is the structure and we're going to follow this. You know, math problem,
right.
and it's going to be like this. And so there's not a lot of heart and soul into that. And so every once in a while you'll hit and have a good session. And so the songs that we took were my own songs that were on my own, and then sessions that were good.
Mm-hmm.
And so David and I, who will, you know, if things kind of worked out for me, we'll oversee my project and executive produce it. And we got together and him and I songwrite a lot and well together. He's the closest thing I've ever had to a bandmate because of, you know, how, you know, into my project he has been. And so we like structured out songs and we took them and made them super basic, very generic, literally to showcase the potential of a song. And at first I assumed what we would get back would be just like piano songs, mm-hmm. but he ended up kind of like producing them a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we got them back and we sent them to my A&R who was still kind of like, And it was like, man, like, what do I have to do?
Right.
You know? And, it was really stressful. And honestly, like some of my last sessions, I was pregnant and stressed. And I remember like being with, a producer who's really a composer. And we were working on some stuff and I needed to write a chorus and I felt so much pressure. And I mean, I was 9 months pregnant and I was just crying because I felt like it was just work and it wasn't fun and it was like very stressful and I had to get this course and I had to make this work and I had to make it be so that I could survive. And so it just took like it just was so, I don't even know how to explain it. It just wasn't cool. It just sucked.
Right.
And, it's, you know, we've kind of been like in that, you know, with that, view, like, whatever the opposite of rose colored glasses are, like just negative and we have to impress and we have to meet this standard. It has to be this way. And everything has been like cut down and challenged.
Right.
And so what we did is, my management was like, man, I'm just going to be fully transparent. They're like, you should send it to Sunny.
Yeah.
And just see what he says and just like get his advice. Uh-huh. Because, you know, the last time something was weird, he kind of pushed some stuff along for
you. Right,
And I was like, you know, I haven't seen him since I was 4 months pregnant and I've talked to him a couple times, but yeah, whatever, I'll do it.
Right.
And I hit him up and he got back to me and I sent him a WeTransfer, and then you get the WeTransfer notice. It's like, it expired.
Right.
And it was like, oh man, come on. Like, this isn't like 2 weeks. Like, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
And, sent them again. And then it was like, okay, the clock is ticking. Like, I don't know how much time I have.
Right.
And I finally just like called him and I didn't answer. And I called him again the next day or 2 days later at night, you know, 9 o'clock at night. My mistake with the first call was it was probably in the morning.
Right.
Like, who's awake? You know, I'm awake, but who else, you know?
Right.
And he answered. It's like 9:30. And I was like, oh my gosh, you answered. And I like was so like, huh. And we had this conversation. It was really short and like, hey, can you listen to this stuff? And he did. And he emailed me back and was like the next morning. And it was like, this song, this one, awesome. This one, awesome. This one's my favorite and this one's cool. And this one's like, this could use some work here.
Right.
And he gave me some like real, you know, advice. Thoughts. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
Criticisms, critical opinions.
Well, they were pretty like, they were not like really deep ones. They were just like, yes, no, yes, no.
And a lot of music making is that it's just a gut opinion. Like, you know, Mark, the guy that I work with, he'll send me a dozen beats at a time and I'll email him back a quick sentence about every one. This one would be good for this. This one sucks. Don't work on it. This one's great.
Your first impression and your gut are like, that's
this one I already wrote a hook for. This one used for a solo project. This one fixed this part. You know, like that's, and it's a, you listen for 30 seconds and then you get a gut instinct and that's it.
Yeah. And so what I did is I texted him after he emailed me back and I was like, okay, I'm going to send these four over. Do you think these are like a word that was said to my management about this was we need songs that are competitive. Mm. And I was like, oh, that's just competitive to what?
Right.
And I said that I was like, I guess they're looking for competitive songs. Do you think these are? And he called me right away. Mm. I mean, I sent that text and it was like,
bring.
There it is. Yeah. And, you know, I answer my phone and he's like, it was such a cool conversation. And I so appreciate this because, it was like, you know, have you seen Princess Bride?
Yes.
When, I forget the guy's character, but when they like knock him out in the pit of despair and they have to like wake him up and they like dip his head in a bucket of water.
Right.
It felt like that. It felt like he was like, Penny. And he like grabbed my face and like dunked me in a tub and was like, wake up.
Yeah.
And it was such a cool thing because he was like, look, you know, the songs are cool, but you can't send this production over because this is super generic production, right. And they're not gonna get it, well, and they're gonna want to control it because you haven't decided this is what it is,
right?
And he said, you know, there's like 1,000 producers on SoundCloud, like young kids that would be so happy to work with you. Yeah. And I was like, you know, and it was kind of, I just said it, I was like, I don't know if I'm in a position to do that. And he was like, are you kidding? Like, look at all the stuff you've done. Like, any kid would be like so happy to work with you. Like, right. You just, and he goes, you just need to sack up and pick a producer.
Yeah, real talk.
And it was like, oh, yeah.
To go back for 1 second, here's the thing is like ad agents, A&R people, like people that aren't directly involved with the creative process, they hear the first thing they hear and that's what's stuck in their head. A first impression is like can be the winner or the killer.
Yeah, and that's like honestly why you don't show demos.
Yeah, don't ever show demos.
It's terrible. Yeah. And that's been a mistake of mine because I think as art, like you are this way probably as an artist, we can hear a song and go, oh, I can see the potential.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. But suits cannot.
Yeah.
At all.
Well, I've learned at this point to not even share my like demo ideas with my producer because like I'm like, let me finish writing it completely. Yeah. And then we'll record it and then you'll see what I'm talking about.
It's also even like hard to show it to friends who you think will get it because right. You know, you'll be like basically done.
You can see their facial expressions going like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, but here there's going to be this part where it's like,
yeah, but even if it's really close to being done and all it needs is like a nice mix.
Right.
And they hear it, they feel sometimes like they can say something about it. And you're like, yo, I was just showing it to you for you to be like, this is sick.
Right.
And what happens is like, if you were to show them a completed something that was like already out, they would love it. But because it's not like out, they feel like they have some sort of say. And so it's just seriously like not worth it to show it to people that aren't like directly a part of your project, like your management.
That's also kind of like a reference to like one of the 48 laws of power is like, don't let people see the effort that you put into it. So like, don't let people see things that are halfway done. Don't let anyone see anything unfinished, but also don't let anyone know how much effort you actually put into it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like make
smart.
It seem effortless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something I've like, that's like a thing I'm going to really be weird about. Like, no, it's not done. You can see it when it's done. But, you know, and then during the conversation, it was like, and this is all like in the last like couple of weeks, he said, you know, Penn, are you having fun? And I said,
Sonny said this?
Yeah. And I was like, well, no. He's like, then don't, why are you doing it? Don't do it.
I mean, that's a problem.
And it was hard for me because I got pregnant and it turned into like, I have to survive.
Life or death.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah. And so, you know, fail or fly. And so it was like,
that's been a real issue I've been having too. Like people are like, oh, are you making music? And I'm like, I don't know if I like making it anymore. I don't know if it's fun to me anymore. I definitely don't get the same satisfaction that I used to from it. And I feel like I'm forced, or like, I feel like it's only a pressure to myself because I don't have any fucking labels telling me what to do or like anybody with any vested interest, but just with my own competitive nature of like wanting to work on stuff.
Sure.
I've been on some like, why aren't I writing music? And I'm like, I don't know if I think it's fun anymore.
It's a hard thing. You know, it honestly, like that conversation was so cool. And it made me realize that like lots of the things in my life everything should be fun. What am I doing?
And that's one of my things too, is that I've tried to turn all of my hobbies into careers now. And it's been pretty good over the last couple of years where that's happening.
Yeah.
But that's the problem is that once the hobbies become careers, there's all this pressure now where I'm like, oh, I've got to fucking make this hobby continue. I got to continue loving this hobby or else now it's work and I'm going to be fucked if I don't.
Yeah. Honestly, like there was a lot of, all that pressure. I never had that kind of pressure until I got pregnant and all of a sudden it got weird. And I felt like, you know, I didn't feel a lot of support. Mm-hmm. I didn't really feel like anyone, you know, the lady that used to run Big Beat like left halfway through or right after I had Pepper. And I was like, no, like you're like my biggest champion. Like you can't go. And I still have good relationships with, you know, some of the people there, which is really cool. But, you know, all of a sudden, like I just felt really alone and I felt like nobody really cared, and I felt like everyone looked at it like, well, you got yourself into this, and it just felt super detached. I felt super alone.
But now, to end on a positive note, like things are feeling better. Yes.
Oh,
I don't know. I mean, we've been going for an hour and a half, but I want to make sure that there's a happy ending.
No, honestly, like moving forward, you know, the song that like I'm going to perform tonight was like, you know, after that conversation on the phone that was like, have fun, man, have fun. And you called and we decided to do the podcast. Yeah. So it was all happening at the same time.
Oh, really?
Which was really cool. I like,
I'm just always like serendipitously there for you.
You freaking are, man. And like, I just, you know, getting the energy out there is really like key. I produced, I wrote this song like probably 2 years ago. I hoard songs. I don't know if I've ever said that to you, but I just keep songs forever. Yeah, yeah. And I had this song and I wrote it and I have tried to produce it a couple times and nothing ever felt right. And so what I did is I sat down and I like, I haven't produced a song in a long time. Mm-hmm. Since I had her, I did like one real song when I had her. I'd never written, I just haven't produced anything. And I produced this song and then I called a friend of mine and I was like, I need you to finish this for me. I need you to work with me on this. And so him and I like postal serviced back and forth over the internet and we did this track. And it was like the first time in forever that I was like, oh man, music is so fun.
Yeah.
Like so recording is really cool.
It felt good.
And I'm really looking forward to like, you know, moving into taking those generic based tracks and making them, you know, cohesive also, keeping them cohesive, I guess, and keeping them cool and then sending like the real stuff. Like, hey, label, this is what I am and this is what it is. And that's what we're moving forward in.
I mean, that's the thing is I think that through all the things that have gotten off track musically, like the positive thing to look at is like, hey, the label still has your back.
Yeah.
They didn't drop you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're still making music, which is like, and you've made time to do that.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it feels good again because of a couple like key conversations. So
yeah, and opportunities and just getting the energy back into it.
Yeah.
It'll be nice. I think the next few, you know, steps and the next little bit of a phase is going to be really cool. It's much more creative and I need that. I need that in my day. I need that in my life. I need it to be sane for my kid.
Right.
You know, and I'm really just really looking forward to doing it.
To keeping it moving.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, well, I'm happy for you. Because I don't know. To me, I think you've stayed very positive and happy throughout everything that's happened. And, like, you know, thanks. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think that I was one of those people who was like, oh, my God, you're having a kid? What are you? I was like, oh, tight. You're going to have a kid?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, kids are tight to me. I love kids. So
Pepper just learned how to walk.
Yeah.
And it's freaking crazy.
She's cruising.
She's so cool. My kid is so cool.
She's cruising. And so anyway, yeah, I don't know. I'm stoked for you. And I think, like,
thanks, man.
You know, motherhood's tight. So
yeah, does it look good on
me? You're going to be a good one. You are a good mom.
Hey, thanks, man.
Yeah. All right.
Cool. Well,
tell the people where to find you.
Twitter, @ who is Penny.
@ who is Penny.
None of my social media handles match.
Ooh, gotta fix that.
You're telling me. Facebook is just Penny Bird Rabbit, one word.
Penny Bird Rabbit.
And Instagram is Bird Rabbit.
Instagram is Bird Rabbit.
Yeah, some kid took Penny Bird Rabbit and won't give it to me.
That son of a gun.
Yeah.
Hey, you can find out through Instagram major life events like her being pregnant.
Yeah.
That's how I found out. Yeah. So,
and I post pictures of like Pepper every once in a while. And
when's this Vans video coming out?
So that's going to literally be in the next like month or two. And I just finished doing the color on it. Just to give a little bit of a sneak about it. Lee and his friend Romo play.
We're like the boyfriends.
Yeah. I'll just tell the plot. Basically, it's just
it doesn't matter. People also watch it.
Yeah. We did, we made a version of Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, and we time travel through the...
Was it Excellent Adventure? Was it Bogus Journey?
It's both.
Okay.
We time travel to rescue our boyfriends who went to the moon to steal treasure from the aliens.
It's a little crazy plot.
It's super crazy.
And everything's like homemade, and it's very cutesy. And
yeah.
My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you can follow me on Twitter @ It's Intuition, ITS Intuition. You can follow my man behind the boards, Ben Shim, making the shit sound buttery @ I Am Database, base with two S's.
Yes.
You can follow us as a unit @ Kinda Neat, youtube.com/ That's Kinda Neat, where you are going to see Penny perform. What is the song called?
Like a Fool.
Like a Fool.
Your articulation is on point.
Really?
I just want to tell you that you speak so nicely.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that so much.
You're welcome.
if you don't have the podcast app, actually someone just tweeted at me this morning going, how do I listen to your podcast mobily?
Stitcher.
And we don't really mention Stitcher. Stitcher's cool. We're
literally
on Stitcher.
Literally just take this off of the edit.
No, it's fine. We're on Stitcher. That's fine. We're on Stitcher. You can find us there. But I personally listen on the podcast app, which you can download in the iTunes store or the app store or whatever. So podcast app, search for Kinda Neat, subscribe. Make sure you guys leave a 5-star rating. Here's the thing is that every fucking podcast says, oh, go leave a 5-star rating and review. And I say that every episode too. And here's the thing is that I have 6 or 7 podcasts I listen to. I've never actually gone and left a rating and a review, even though I listen every week. This is the week I'm going to do it. I'm going to go leave ratings. So for me, if you're listening to the show right now, go leave a 5-star rating, leave a review and a comment. And I thank you so much for that. And then subscribe. It makes your life easier. What else? I think that's it. Oh, facebook.com/kindaneat. I don't know.
Yeah,
whatever.
And have a good day.
Yeah, have a great day.
Go make a new friend.
And that was Penny, and I'm Lee, and this was Kinda Neat.
Kinda Neat.
That's it. Thank you.
Perfect.